Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Medium Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my BFF with me, the one and only Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
Hello everybody. Tonight we're rolling down the river whilst loving on the old Mother Earth. What in the tree hug are we talking about? Why, the Wheel of the Year, of course. But before we construct our flower crowns, I want to shout out all of our friends to the show, both original and new. That's everyone hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. It is so much fun getting to know you guys. Let's keep it going. Make sure you hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Medium Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Medium Matters, on email at themediummatters@gmail.com, and via smoke signal, of course. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, you can jot it down and email it to me at themediummatters@gmail.com or via DM on the show's social media pages to be part of the show. I will personally read and reply to your messages and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your true life ghost story or stories right here on The Medium Matters. That's right, guys, because dreams do come true. LOL. No pressure to be on the show. I'm happy to read it on your behalf, or the Marie Rose will read it on your behalf if that's more your jam. So absolutely no pressure, guys. No judgment, just good, clean, scary fun. And, you know, on that note, I have a little something that I read today and I want to tell you guys about.
Uh-oh, what is it?
Oh, yeah. This is a good one. You're gonna fall for this one, Marie Rose.
I usually do.
So here we go. A couple bought the house that inspired The Conjuring, and surprise, they say it's haunted.
Duh.
That is right. So apparently, Corey and Jennifer Heinzen signed on the dotted line on June 21st and bought the home previously owned by the Perrin family. You know the one, you guys. Occupied by the Perrins from 1971 to 1980 and mega haunted. So much so that the Warrens were called in to investigate after Carolyn Perrin became possessed. That's right. And unlike the movie script, they were not able to rid the home of the evil that inhabited it. Corey admits he's always had a fascination with the paranormal, to include ghosts, UFOs, lake monsters, and Bigfoot. And per Corey himself, he says, "We've had a few moments in here that have made us jump a bit. We've had doors open on their own, footsteps, disembodied voices, EVP activity, and some awesome spirit box sessions. And if you think they're just running around chasing ghosts all day, well, think again." Corey goes on to say, "A day in the life of the house usually consists of daily upkeep, like vacuuming and sweeping, making sure the outside is looking good, and then working on small household projects that might need to be fixed. Once the sun starts to set, we like to sit out on the back porch and listen to the wildlife around the yard. But once it's dark outside, we start investigating. Their hope, you ask? Glad you ask. To investigate every chance they get to support the story behind the farm and to open the farm grounds for tours come this fall." So there you have it. Think you'll be bored this fall? Head on over to Harrisville, Rhode Island, and conjure up something fun.
So they bought the house specifically to investigate.
Yes.
That is hardcore.
Yeah, that's what I said. So I don't even know what I was looking for today. And like, this just popped up. It's like the universe was like, "Here's a gift for you. You've had a rough day." And I was like, what the hell is this? Now, we just did some episodes on haunted dolls. There's a market for this stuff. There are people that are willing to brave it. And good for you all day long. Good for you. Like, there legit is no judgment here. I'm going to say this. Not for me. Not my jam. Like, I already have enough activity. And when you're putting yourself in an environment like that, like, I don't even know what level of safety you are practicing, if any.
Well,
because you're like actively chasing this stuff down.
Yeah, they're actively looking for hauntings.
Yes.
And activity. So they've invested in it.
Yes.
And they want to spend all their free time doing it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If that is their thing, then, you know, I hope they find what they're looking for.
I feel like they already have.
So it's, I mean, I hope in the long run they don't regret it. But
I would agree with
But they're embracing it, mm-hmm. and I don't. It's. I just hope nobody gets hurt.
I agree. Good luck to you, Corey and Jennifer Heinzen, because you're a lot braver than me. I'll say that.
Yeah, I can't. I can't say that I would personally do it. But
I would not either.
But hey,
and if you told me that that's something you wanted to do, I would say imposter. I know my Marie would not sign up for that crap.
Not for intentional hauntings. No, put down a chunk of change to buy a house.
Right. Like, it's one thing to go investigate for the night or the weekend and you're like,
yeah,
la, la, la.
But then you sage yourself, you come home.
Exactly.
You know, no.
I know. There's like so much to say and no words are coming out.
It's like somebody who just loves camping so much, they just go in and live in the woods full time. I don't know. No. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom it.
Nor I.
But it's, you know, to each their own. Good luck to them.
Ditto. With that, it's tarot time. In addition to our weekly tarot talk, we are hitting you with 31 August days of readings from the Marie Rose. What? No, it's true, you guys. It's true. 31 of our friends to the show will be selected by Marie to receive a tarot reading in the month of August 2019, in case you were wondering. Here is the 411. Submit one question to Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Your question may not relate to health or legal issues. Marie will randomly select one person per day and will contact the reading recipient to notify them of their selection and work out the deets of their tarot reading. That said, Miss Marie will... you please explain to our friends what this personalized reading will be like?
So what you'll do is you'll email me a question at hellomarierose@gmail.com and just email the question and your name. I'm going to meditate on your name, see what kind of guidance I get based on that, what kind of tarot spread, so on and so forth. I will take a picture of the tarot spread and send it to you along with the reading.
Very cool. And if you guys decide to share your reading results with your friends and family, or even with us, totally up to you. That is confidential info. But again, if you want to share it with us, we're happy to talk about it with you. Just make sure you let us know if you want to keep it private or not, so that we don't spew it all over the air.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume that they're all private.
Yeah, that is always the assumption. They're private unless you tell us otherwise. With that, and without further ado, let's get down with this week's tarot talk, which is brought to us by the Marie Rose. Take it away.
So the card drawn for this session is the Five of Wands. And basically, it's five young men holding these big giant sticks and they're beating the crap out of each other.
As boys do.
So it makes you wonder, are they goofing around or are they serious? Well, five is usually associated with a negative energy. So
really,
we can assume that these guys are generally just beating the shit out of each other. However, what was drawn for this... For this week, it was reversed. So the reversed of the Five of Wands is generosity, new business opportunities, and victory after many obstacles. So this is
like the one time the upside down is actually better than the
exactly.
right side up.
Thank
you, fellas, for beating each other.
Exactly.
With long sticks.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if I knew that the number five was usually associated with negative energy.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But I guess in tarot, the five of every suit is... it has some kind of negative connotation to it. Because wow. if I had drawn this right side up, it would have been all about, you know, competition and violence and blah, so on and so forth, mm-hmm. which you and I are so not about that.
No.
But
I mean, sometimes.
But. I love it. Generosity, victory after a bunch of pain in the ass events, I'm down with this. So it will be interesting to see what this episode brings and to see what this week brings.
Very, very cool. Thank you so much for that awesome tarot talk to carry us through the week. This week's Can't Resist Crystal is the one and only hematite.
Love.
Do you have hematite?
Yes.
Yes, I do as well.
Yes, I do.
I'll tell you about my hematite as soon as we're done with this. So from my favorite, energymuse.com, the hematite crystal meaning is linked with its ability to absorb any toxic emotions holding you back from your natural state of joy and vitality. Use hematite in your crystal healing first aid kit to clear away negative feelings from stress, anxiety, and worry. The hematite crystal works to pull any stray negative energy in the aura to the root chakra, where it neutralizes its harmful effects by balancing and aligning all seven chakras. This explains why hematite is one of the best root chakra stones. Stay zen in our hectic world with hematite crystal healing properties and their ability to enhance confidence and strength in times of turmoil. According to legend, the hematite crystal was used as a powerful talisman for warriors in the north of England because it was believed to preserve the blood or life essence of a fallen soldier wounded in battle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know, I didn't either. Your problems might not be as serious as Viking marauders sacking a village, but hematite gives you a boost of vigor when you rejoin the hectic pace of the modern world. Because of its high iron content, the hematite crystal stone meaning is associated with the ancient Greeks, who used powdered hematite to make a red pigment. Because of its intense blood-like shade when mixed with water, the Greeks named it haema, the Latin word for blood. This mysterious stone with a silvery sheen is linked with the color, This mysterious stone with a silvery sheen is linked with the silver color ray, the shaded moonlight that mesmerizes with the bright and clear iridescence. Shimmery hematite reminds us of the stars, a force as powerful as sunlight, yet soft and subdued. According to legend, the Native Americans believed that the stars in the sky are the campfires of our ancestors. Oh, that's so cool.
I love that.
Next time you're sitting outside at the campfire, remember the ancient civilizations and how they cherished the nighttime display of our stunning cosmos. Hematite's message is simple. Go outside more and reconnect your spirit to the wonder and mystery of the lights in the sky. I love hematite.
I didn't realize it had that association with blood. That's interesting.
Nor I. Thank you, Greeks and Greece. So I have at least one hematite stone. And I bought a hematite ring at the rock shop and I wore it on my thumb for a while and it broke. No, that's a lie. That's not what happened. I bought one, wore it on my thumb and it slipped off in my Jeep and I lost it in the Jeep.
So it should still be there somewhere.
One would imagine, but it's been like 2.5 years. I don't know where it is. So I liked it so much I went and bought another one like immediately and that one broke.
So it's just not meant to be for whatever reason.
Exactly. And I was like, read you loud and clear, universe.
Yeah.
Read you loud and clear.
Hint taken.
Exactly. So if you guys do or don't know about hematite, make sure you check out energymuse.com or any other site that resonates with you. And such a magnificent crystal. I really like that one. And it is really, really pretty. It is like, it's super shiny. It almost looks like it has a mirrored surface.
Yes,
it's very cool.
Yes, the one I have is, they're actually beads on a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Yeah, and it's like a dark, very dark stone, like a dark silver or something.
Yes.
Oh, so pretty, so pretty. So make sure you check out the hematite because it is the bee's knees. It's time to celebrate the shorter days and honor the earth as we slip back into the wheel of the year and say hello and goodbye to a few more holidays. What are we talking about? So earlier this year, or like a few months ago, I don't know what it was. We're like in July. I keep thinking.
Time flies, yeah, doesn't it?
I keep thinking we're further than we are. So we have talked about Beltane. We've talked about
Ostara.
Thank you. And these are all. Oh, and Letha.
Yes.
Letha was the last one.
Yep.
We've talked about these in the last few months, and these are all part of the Wheel of the Year. So what we're going to do tonight is close out the rest of the year, the Wheel of the Year, and tell you guys about the last few events, and there are four. The first one occurring August 1st or 2nd, which is known as Lammas, and that is L-A-M-M-A-S. The theme for this specific event is first fruits, harvest, gratitude, benevolent sacrifice, utilizing skills and talents. This particular holiday has other names such as August Eve, Feast of Bread, Harvest Home, First Harvest, yada, yada, yada. So here we go with Lammas.
And not the animal.
Not llamas. <Ba-dum-bump>. It's now high summer, and the union of sun and earth, of god and goddess, has produced the first harvest. Lammas is a celebration of this first grain harvest, a time for gathering in and giving thanks for abundance. We work with the cycle that Mabon, or the autumn equinox, is the second harvest of fruit, and Samhain is the third and final harvest of nuts and berries. The word Lammas is derived from loaf mass and is indicative of how central and honored is the first grain and the first loaf of the harvesting cycle. It is also the great festival of Lu, the great Celtic sun king and god of light. August is his sacred month when he initiated great festivities in honor of his mother. Feasting, market fairs, games, and bonfire celebrations were the order of the day. Circle dancing, reflecting the movement of the sun in sympathetic magic, was popular, as were all community gatherings. August was considered an auspicious month for hand fasting and weddings. But underlying this is the knowledge that the bounty and energy of Lu, of the sun, is now beginning to wane. It is a time of change and shift. Active growth is slowing down, and the darker days of winter and reflection are beckoning. So we talked about this in Letha, where we have now hit the longest day of the year, where it is the longest and the brightest, or not the brightest day. What is the word? What's the phrase I'm looking for?
Like the equinox? What are you thinking? What are you thinking of?
Letha. So it's the longest day of the year, and it's also mm-hmm. the day with the most light.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Okay.
That's the wording I'm looking for. So we've hit that part of the year, and from that point forward, the days slowly begin to get shorter. So we are moving away from the summertime and the growth and the fertility of the earth and all that good stuff that we talked about initially with a maying and, you know, all the fun stuff, all the, you know, the birds and bees situations at the beginning of the year. Now it's time to start packing on the weight and get under the blankets. That is what we're all about. So what are some things to do? What are some things associated with Lammas? Well, here are some herbs and plants. It would be things like wheat, barley, oats, rye, anything that represents fulfillment and potential. And mint is another good herb. Sunflowers.
Grapes, pears.
All of which sounds delicious right now. The colors of Lammas. This is still a time where things are green, with every shade of sun and harvest, from gold and yellow to deepest orange. And things that you can do, well, I mean, party, of course, because that's what every celebration is. It's food, it's fire, it's all that good stuff. So it really, all of these holidays tie together. And that's why we talked about it and said, let's wrap up the Wheel of the Year and just talk about all of these together, because it just makes good, clean sense. Marie, do you want to take us into the next holiday for the Wheel of the Year?
So we're talking about Mabon. Mabon, it's spelled M-A-B-O-N.
M-A-B-O-N.
Right. But it's pronounced Mabon. And it is the autumn equinox. And on this year, it is falling on September 23rd. So Mabon is in honor of the god of the forest, some call the Green Man. Colors include brown, yellow, gold, orange, red, but your basic colors that right. are associated with fall. Mm-hmm. It is the autumn equinox. where, you know, again, time at the daylight and night equal each other. The stones associated during this time is amethyst, sapphire, lapis lazuli, and your yellow stones, your yellow topazes, your yellow agates, so on and so forth. For those of you who like to burn incense, break out your sage, your myrrh, and your clove.
All really good.
Yep. And if you'd like to decorate for fall, then break out your vines and apples and corns and acorns and your fall leaves. For those of you who like to do spells or rituals, break out your home protection, your balance rituals, anything that releases negativity. Because basically you're prepping your house to hole up for the season.
To hunker down.
Yes.
And you don't want to hunker down like, you know, Cody and Jennifer at the parents' old house.
Right. You don't want to hunker down in a haunted house.
Yeah, no.
Clear out your house.
Get
clear
all
out
that
your
nonsense
house.
Out.
Right? So, activities include making a gratitude list, doing a deep cleaning of the house, physical and spiritual, leaf rubbings, making an autumn garland, baking bread, and just basically finishing up old business. Anything that you started in the spring and summer, bring everything to a close so that you're basically preparing to chill out for the cold season.
Yeah.
So, like I said, on this day, the day and night are divided equally. So we start paying respects to the dark that's about to come. We give thanks to the waning sunlight as we finish up everything that we started during the spring and summer. The goddess goes from mother to crone, and she starts preparing for death and rebirth. The term Mabon is named after a Celtic sun god of the same name. The equinox is also called the Second Harvest Festival, the Festival of Dionysus, the Harvest of First Fruits, and the Wine Harvest. I like that.
I like all of those.
Yeah, the Wine Harvest, I think, is my favorite. Mm-hmm. You know, grapes,
agreed.
Fall, all
we
that good stuff.
We should harvest wine right now.
Yeah. Actually, I grew up with my dad. He had a, I can't think of the, I guess a vineyard. I mean, it wasn't huge, but it was about 24 posts of Scuppernong grapes, and we'd pick them in the fall, and oh my god,
are those sweet?
It was super sweet.
Really
super sweet. It's like one in my mouth and one in the basket. One in my mouth, one in the basket. So it was was fun. Childhood memories.
That sounds like fun.
So the Festival of Mabon is one of many harvest festivals celebrated around the world by many different cultures. The Greeks, the Native Americans, the Barbarians, the Druids, the Chinese, and they all have different ways to celebrate this day. During medieval times, the Europeans celebrated with the Feast of Archangel Michael. I love how all these holidays, they got a good feast involved.
Yes, every one of them.
Celebrate. Let's eat.
Yeah, I love it.
So in the lunar cycle, September marks the wine moon. Imagine that.
The wine festival.
Right?
The wine harvest.
That's right, which is the time for harvesting grapes. The early pagans considered that the wine and the grapevines are sacred. And they believed that the grapes and wines were symbols of rebirth and transformation. In mythology, Mabon is a time when the god of light was defeated by the god of darkness, resulting in longer nights. The Celtics, they believe Mabon is the son of Modron, the goddess of the earth, who was kidnapped for 3 days after his birth, making light go into hiding. Moreover, Mabon symbolizes the male figure of the harvest. The British, they believe Mabon is associated with Herne the Hunter and marks the beginning of deer hunting season in many places. And yeah, that's totally my boyfriend. Deer hunting season, he's gone. He is gone. So, and that is associated with this time. The deer start. They start wandering around as it gets colder and And deer hunting season begins.
Nice.
So it's also the time of year to celebrate balance, reflection, and some, like I said, some of the foods, you know, include vegetables like squash, eggplants, pumpkins, and gourds. Anything, you know, you can bake pies, make cider, applesauce, make baskets. I love fall. I mean, the weather breaks and you get mm-hmm. to pull out your jackets and your boots for the first time.
And pumpkin and spiced
yes,
everything.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So in China, Meiben falls on the moon's birthday. I didn't know the moon had a birthday. I guess it does.
Nor I.
It was created along with everything else. So the Chinese celebrate by baking cakes made of harvested rice to honor the moon, who will in return bless them with abundance.
They celebrate with rice cakes?
Yes. Chinese rice. The English, they celebrate by having the Feast of St. Michael, which is observed on May 29th. When they have a big feast there. In Nigeria, the people celebrate with a yam festival in October. So many pagans and Wiccans regard Meiben as a time to give thanks and share blessings with those less fortunate. And like I said, there's just so many activities. There's all the fall festivals and there's altars. Oh, you can do your altars now. You can decorate them with orange and red and yellow and gold. You know, do a bonfire at night and just all the fun. You can do indoor altars, outdoor altars, you know, like I said, include the crops of the fall, you know, pears and
apples.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. All the fun stuff. So it's a good time. Mm-hmm. And actually, was it last fall? We got to do it again. When we got in my backyard and built the fire and everybody came over. Mm. And
was that for an equinox?
No. I remember what it was. It was for Samhain.
Was
That's
it?
What it was. Yeah. Mm. And it wasn't last year. It was the year before that because Kathy came.
Interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about Samhain.
Yes, let's. So we did an episode on Samhain last year. No, in 2017, the first year.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because then we left for Texas and yada, yada. So. So we did do an episode on this and it was so much fun because you guys know how much I love October and all things Halloween. And what is Samhain? It is the celebration that takes place on October 31st or November 1st. And let me just tell you guys, this is how it's spelled. Samhain. So it looks like Samhain and it's not. It's pronounced Samhain. And Samhain, you know what that made me think of? The movie Halloween, because that's what, what's his name says? Dr. Loomis. Samhain. It's written on the chalkboard. Or maybe it's like the second Halloween. It might be the second. But I digress. Here are the themes of Samhain. Death, rebirth, divination, honoring ancestors, introspection, benign mischief, and revelry. It is also known as Halloween, my favorite, Third Harvest, Day of the Dead, Feast of the Dead, Shadow Fest, Ancestor Night, Winter Nights, Old Hallowmas, Callan Gaeth. Samhain is one of the major festivals of the Wheel of the Year, and for many, the most important festival of all, like me. It is the third and final harvest festival of nuts and berries and a fire festival. All the harvest is in, all is complete, it is the end of the cycle of birth and growth. It is the point of death. The seeds of the harvest have fallen deep into the dark earth. They are unseen, dormant, and thus apparently lifeless. But are they? No, they are not. They are napping until the next season.
Taking a nap?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, the spring comes and they awaken. But I digress. The god, as Sun King, is sacrificed back to the land with the seed until the winter solstice.
There's a lot of sacrificing going
There's
on
a lot
in, this,
of sacrificing.
In this Wheel of the Year.
There is never a sacrifice for your food, though. Like, you don't sacrifice food and go hungry. I like that very much. I've not heard sacrifice your wine. Never heard that.
No.
So it's just sacrifice things that no one can see, like your crap personality. Your crap behavior. Okay, so the Sun King, sacrifice. Back to the land with the seed until winter solstice. And the goddess, now as Crone, mourns him until his rebirth at Yule. He travels the underworld learning its wisdom. This is the time of the descent into darkness of preconception, out of which new life, new ideas will eventually emerge. Traditionally, the veils between the worlds are at their thinnest at this point of the year. Boundaries dissolve and all is laid bare. It is time to honor and offer hospitality to our ancestors. At Samhain, the dark half of the year commences. It is truly a magical time. Death is always followed by rebirth, and while this is the end of the old year, it's the beginning of the new. For the Celts, the day did not begin at dawn. It began at sunset. It began with darkness. Light is always born out of darkness. They are inseparable, interdependent, and necessary. Darkness is fertile with all potential. With the beginning of this dark phase comes the opportunity to rest and reflect on the past and to dream of new beginnings. The seed now hidden in the earth will germinate in its season. Look for the seeds in yourself. This is also a time to honor the ancestors. Honoring your ancestors is a very special thing to do at this time and can be done in many simple ways. Think about all those departed souls from your life, hopefully not too many, let's not get depressed. Both family and friends, children may wish to remember pets even. Place photographs of them on your altar. Offer them your hospitality. Welcome their presence into your home. Safely, of course, not with a Ouija board. At your Samhain feast, consider laying an extra place for them to join you at the table. Cook and eat their favorite dishes. Talk about them. Remember them. Bring them closer. You and your children can make an offering for departed pets by leaving some dog food or bird food or, you know, insert animal here, food, outside on Halloween night. Many night creatures appreciate this offering. So it is a very cool time of year. This is a wonderfully, it's just, there's so much you can do, so much. And the food continues, the wine continues, the fires continue. Let's talk about some other things. Candle ceremony, for the ancestors. This is a wonderfully simple ritual which can be shared with both friends and family or worked alone. You can include children in it, and it begins in darkness and ends full of light. It is a great balance to trick or treating. You will need a supply of small candles, either black or white, or a supply of night lights. You need a heatproof container or tray of sand or earth to put them in. Place one in the center of the container from which all of the others will be lit. Switch off all the lights and sit gently in the darkness. Allow the darkness to enfold you. Ask for the presence of your ancestors to come to you, and when you are ready, light the central candle saying, "We welcome our departed loved ones into this home and honor your presence among us." Allow each person in the circle to spontaneously remember someone who has passed to the Summerlands and remember something about them, and light a candle for each person from the central candle. I remember so-and-so and her generosity of heart or whatever may have you. If they were a prankster, you can remember that fondly or, you know, whatevs. Allow this to continue for as long as it takes to complete the remembering. You will end with a tray full of radiant candles. And when all is complete, give thanks and allow the candles to burn to completion. That is a very cool little thing to do for your ancestors or your loved ones, anyone that has crossed over that you want to remember. So just last weekend, we had a family gathering and it was really cool because I found, like, it just occurred to me that at one point we were telling all these stories about my grandma. And
oh, that's awesome.
They were a little violent.
What? What were you talking about when she was beating you?
Yes, we were.
So you remember her for her spankings?
Yes, we did. On that day, we did.
I'm sure they were well deserved.
Oh, I'm sure. And like, I mean, we were laughing and one of my cousins was just mimicking or impersonating her and like doing it so well. It was hilarious. And I mean, the theme amongst all of us was how freaked out we were and how scared she made us, because she was I mean, like 4 foot nothing and terrifying. Like she was so strict. Good Lord. But it was really, really cool. And our loved ones love when we do that. They like to be remembered and talked about. And have you ever seen that movie? Oh, gosh, what is it called? It's a, I think it's a Pixar one. And it's the one about the Day of the Dead. And gosh, I'm going to look it up because I feel dumb right now. In any event, so in the movie, the way the ancestors are remembered or the way they stay alive in the other world is by their loved ones in the living physical world to remember them and talk about them and to have pictures up and celebrate them. And when that starts to fade away over the generations, they, the ones that have crossed over, start to fade away and they no longer live.
Oh,
yeah. It was a really cool movie. I have to look it up, but very, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know which movie you're talking about. I haven't seen it. I don't think I've seen any Pixar film since.
I want to say it's a Pixar.
Since my daughter grew up.
Yeah, just, it was a good one,
though. I
just don't
go see Disney movies anymore.
Yeah, this one was good. So that's what it reminds me of. Here's another cool thing you can do. Seed scattering charm for the ancestors. This simple charm is designed to honor the spirit of those who have passed onto the Summerland. The seeds you scatter will grow in memory, a gift of remembrance to the earth. And this is actually very cool. A lot of people do this where they plant a tree or flowers or something like that for a loved one to remember them. And you could tell great stories around it of that loved one. And it's just a really cool, like tangible something that you have for this person or of this person. And there was I don't know if the vet still does it, but my parents lost one of their dogs some years ago, and the vet cremated his delicious little body and planted a tree in his name. I thought it was so cool.
Oh, that is sweet.
Mm-hmm. To keep it going. So what are some of the symbols of Samhain? Well, one is the apple. This is something that you can use at Samhain. The pumpkin. We know the pumpkin.
Yep. Carved pumpkins.
Yes. Pumpkins are very much an American tradition, which has been successfully marketed in the UK and Europe. Everyone loves them, especially, of course, kids. And if you consider that the Celts regarded the human head as the seat of the soul, the concept of the carved pumpkin with a candle inside it as the light shining from the soul becomes just about acceptable. Apart from this, the pumpkin has nothing to do with Samhain. It's just good, clean, scary fun. The cauldron is another Samhain symbol.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. The cauldron?
Mm-hmm. Huh. The cauldron or Holy Grail is closely associated with Samhain. It is feminine and is the cosmic container for all life and death of transformation and rebirth.
Just not because it's associated with witches?
I guess not. It has an actual purpose.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it holds all of that. The acorn. The acorn is the seed of the great oak, representing wisdom, longevity, rebirth, a promise of strength to come. An acorn in your pocket is an amulet of good fortune to come. All nuts from our indigenous trees, walnuts, hazelnuts, conkers, and so on, are pure potential and carry the attributes of the mother tree. That's kind of cool.
I never thought of it that way.
Carrying an acorn in your pocket.
I just associate acorns with the squirrels.
Yeah, and being a super pain in the arse all over the ground. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some main color of Samhain. Black for death and endings. Orange for the vitality of life within death. Purple for wisdom, insight, and inspiration. Those are all the Halloween colors, as yes. I know them to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how can you decorate your Samhain altar? With a cauldron, apples, nuts, berries, mm-hmm. black candles to honor the passage of your ancestors, photographs of your deceased loved ones, however you want to decorate it. And then you can add the colors, the purple, the black, the orange, whatever you want. Make it your own.
Yep.
Do it.
Yep. What makes you feel all the feels?
Exactly. So if you haven't listened to our Samhain episode, which was in season one, make sure you check it out because we go into a lot of stuff, the history and other things that make Samhain all the good times of Halloween. What do we have up next, Marie Rose?
So what we have up next is the winter solstice. And the winter solstice this year falls on December 22nd, 2019.
I like
and it. And December is my month. That's my birth month. Mm-hmm. So yay, yay, December.
What is your exact birthday? Like, you don't need the year, but.
The 8th.
Did you hear, guys hear that? Mark your calendar. December 8th. We're going to wish Marie Rose a happy birthday all over the world.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's
thank you.
It's going to be Marie Rose Day.
That's awesome. So the winter solstice, the Yuletide, the colors associated are white and gold and silver and green and red, as you can well imagine.
Christmas colors.
Exactly. All the Christmas colors.
Mm-hmm. And I love Christmas. Oh my gosh.
Yes, me too.
You know what, like, they don't have here in the Wheel of the Year? Hmm. Anything around Thanksgiving time.
Well, that's kind of...
I know they all, like, run together, yeah. So to speak. They all tie together, but...
They
I
do.
Would like a special celebration at Thanksgiving.
Well, I think, you know, one of these did get some Thanksgiving love.
It's all good.
Yeah.
It is all good. They run together.
They do. They do. So, stones associated with the winter solstice include... Diamonds, rubies, garnets, emeralds.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. The reds and the greens.
And
obviously.
The silvers dashing through the snow.
Right. Rituals include world peace.
Caroling.
Honoring family and friends.
World peace is a ritual?
Well, you could do rituals for world peace. Personal renewal. Increased happiness, love, harmony. Just... Oh, the Kumbaya.
Sounds like a Pixar movie.
Rituals. Oh, you know what? Disney, are you listening? We just had a suggestion.
Yule.
Yeah, call us. Call us. Activities, kissing under the mistletoe.
I like it.
Feasting, of course. Singing, gift giving, wreaths, resolutions. All the stuff you normally associate with New Year's and... Mm.
Does this have my name next to it by chance? Cause
which part?
All of it.
The feasting?
Yule? Yule as a whole?
So the pagan holiday called Yule takes place on the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere, while below the equator, the winter solstice falls around June 21st. So, and we've had that conversation in the past about
they flip-flop.
Exactly. So... On that day, the Earth's axis actually tilts away from the sun in the northern hemisphere, and the sun reaches its greatest distance from the equator. So I think that's I never thought about the Earth actually tilts, and that's how the whole why our seasons are the opposite. Than below the equator. So
makes good sense.
Makes good sense.
Thank you, science.
So Yule time is the time of great darkness, but soon the dark will give way to light. And the cycle of life that seems to be suspended while the dark king, the old year, is transformed into the infant light, the new year. We watch for the coming dawn when the great mother again gives birth to the divine sun child, who brings hope and the promise of continuing life as the wheel of the year makes its final turn toward the light. And then we call forth the sun from the dark night. Much of the modern holiday symbolisms comes from pagan traditions, which come from the Druids, the Saxons, the Celtics, and some of the Romans and the Persians. And it's just, I mean, this time of year has just become a big mixing bowl of traditions. I mean, it's so many traditions that we follow, and they just come from all over the world. So almost all civilizations, I mean, they've got some kind of winter celebration, and most of these are rooted in the cycle of the year, and they stem from the ancient practice of, you know, honoring the return of the sun. The solstice, these celebrations go back for thousands and thousands of years. So, for example, in Newgrange, Ireland, which I love the Irish. I just love them. They actually have a 3-day winter solstice party.
Because why not?
That's right. They're Irish. They when they're going to party, they're going to party big. And so the at the light of the rising sun, it illuminates a triad of spirals that they, I guess they must have in their town on at the entrance. So I don't know. I kind of want to go investigate and see what they're talking about. They sound like partying people. We need to go. So the holiday wreath, let's talk about that. That actually represents the wheel of the year. Did you know that?
I love a good wreath.
I did not know that. And the annual cycle is complete at the Yule, and it's the time of transformation, beginning, the endings become beginnings. And actually the word Yule comes from the Anglo-Saxon word that means wheel.
Nice.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? So fire is also an important part of this holiday, putting bright lights on Christmas trees and windows and around the house. You know, you begin the practice of lighting, you know, candles in the backyard, lighting bonfires, burning, you know, in your fireplace, the Yule log. It's traditionally an oak log and represents the new shining sun. And a piece of the log is kept and used the following year to symbolize continuity as the old year finishes and the new one begins.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and death is followed by rebirth. Huh. I never knew that's what the Yule log meant.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so there's learning a lot of stuff about this holiday that I didn't know. The full moon before the winter solstice is called the oak moon, with its roots deep in Mother Earth and the topmost branches reaching high above the ground. The oak tree is symbolic of living in both the earthly and heavenly worlds. The tree figure largely in the Yuletide season. The Druids saw them as sacred. For them, Yule marked the struggle between the Oak King, the king of the waxing year, and the Holly King, the king of the waning year. And to the Druids, the holly symbolized death and oak symbolized rebirth.
Nice.
So, and mistletoe is a good one. That can be traced back to the Druids who gathered it from the high branches of the oak trees. Mistletoe is also called the golden bough, and is considered to have a very powerful magic, especially for fertility. And its white berries are plentiful and symbolizes the sacred seed of the god who embodies the spirit of vegetation and the spark of life.
Nice.
So, who knew mistletoe had all that going for?
Yeah, I sure as hell didn't.
You just hang it and hope for a kiss.
Yeah.
Holly, this was interesting because I thought it got a little dark here, but Holly is named for the underground goddess Holly without the Y, and who is also called Hel with one L. But her dark realm is within the earth and includes the deep underground waters. But her great palace is not one of fear. It's a place of renewal and rebirth, kind of the opposite of what the myths later ended up calling hell. It's like, how did you get from there to here?
Right.
I don't understand that part. But yeah, but that's where that came from. Christmas trees, another symbol of this time of year. It started in 15th century Europe. In the British Isles, they were decorated with images of what they wished for in the coming year. And so that has, you know, fast forward, and now you have your Christmas tree decorations. Can you imagine what those decorations back then would have looked like?
No.
If they were wishes, what would be your wish for the coming year, and how would you make that into a Christmas tree decoration?
It would look like a bunch of stuff from the set of the Blair Witch Project.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And that is what you would wish for the coming year?
That's what it would look like. I assume they're making ornaments out of like branches and crap, so... That's what it'll look like. Little evil action figures.
Oh gosh. So like I said, this cycle has played out, you know, all over the world. December 25th has, you know, represents, you know, so many things. It represents, you know, the birthday of the sun god Mirtha, who was celebrated by the Romans and the Persians. On the old Julian calendar, winter solstice also occurred on December 25th. Mithra was born of the goddess Astarte. For the ancients, Horus was born of Isis. In Babylon, Tammuz was born of Ishtar. The Norse goddess Frigg gave birth to Balder, which I've never heard of. And of course, our favorite, Mary gave birth to Jesus.
Yay!
So a lot of stuff. So many similarities all over the world. How can it be wrong?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And it is, you know, it's Yule, and it's Samhain, and it's Mabon, and it's Lammas, and all of these goodies. They all tie together. That's, you know.
Yeah. And your favorites, Halloween, my favorites. Mm-hmm. December, the entire month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it is all about me, of course.
Yeah. I am October. I think I was born in the wrong month. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. My soul knows. My soul knows. All right, friends, that's our episode on the remainder of the Wheel of the Year. We hope you enjoyed this awesome content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We appreciate and love you guys so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Medium Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Medium Matters, where I show you even more love. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediummatters@gmail.com or via DM on one of the show's social media pages, and I will personally reply. I triple promise. Want a personalized tarot reading from The Marie Rose? Be sure to submit your question to her at hellomarierose@gmail.com before the month of August is out for your chance to be selected for a personalized reading. Are you liking the show? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you are loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it a lot easier for others to find all of your favorites. With that, you guys, it is a wrap for us. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Medium Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, my friends.
Good night.